The first one is the first promise in the New Testament, Matthew 1:21, where it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I want to say to you, the first promise in the New Testament, that is for you. Put your arm into that. I'm going to give you 7 promises, and I want you to put your arm into all 7. There are many more. They're all from the New Testament. I'm not going to go back to the Old Testament, to Jehovah and killing our earthly enemies, and no, we're finished with all that. We're in a new regime, new covenant. And the first promise in the pages of the New Testament is, He will save you from your sins. Meditate on that for a moment. When you say, in the name of Jesus, what does it mean? For many people, when you say, in Jesus' name, all it means is, now we can open our eyes, the prayer is over. That's not the meaning of it. In Jesus' name means, I come in the merit of Jesus Christ. I come in the merit of Him who has come to save me from all my sins. I ask for this. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Let me tell you the good news. You do not have to save yourself from your sins. Then it's not a promise. Do you know the difference between a promise and a command? A command is, brother, save yourself from your sins. That's a command. A promise is, He will save you from your sins. There's a world of difference between His doing it and my doing it. Supposing there is a big problem which you can't solve, and you contact some high official who is a good friend of yours, and he says, don't worry, I'll do it. Finished. Your responsibility is over. He's a trustworthy fellow. He said he'll do it. Whatever needs to be done, he'll do it. Can you trust Jesus like that? He will save you from your sins. You say, why haven't I got it then? You didn't put your arm in on the backside of the check. Yes, that's for me. Sin will not have dominion over you. That's the same thing, Romans 6:14. Because you're not under Moses, you're under Christ. You're not under law, but you're under grace. That is the first thing that you must claim. Lord, this particular sin is ruling over me. You said you'll save me from it. Think of some sin right now that has been ruling you ever since you heard this message 20 years ago. For 20 years it has ruled you. Will you say today, Lord Jesus, you'll save me from that? It may be anger in some of your cases. You still haven't got victory over anger. It may be sexual lust. Those are the two first sins that Jesus mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount. That's why I mentioned them. The first sins that Jesus mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 onwards, anger, sexual lust, telling lies, bitterness against other people who hurt you. These are the 3-4 common sins that people just can't overcome. Anger, sexually dirty thoughts, telling lies, and bitterness against others, enemies and people who hurt you. You read Matthew chapter 5, the last half of it, you'll find these are the 4 sins that Jesus said. And that's why I mention them. That's why I mention them so often. Are you a slave to one of these? Or all of these perhaps? Will you put your arm in to the promise of God that sin will not have dominion over you anymore because you're under grace? Perhaps you need to go to God and say, Lord, I still haven't understood what it means to be under grace. Help me to understand what it means to be under grace. I'm not under law. Law means my effort, grace means God's effort. Law means my trying to save myself from sin, grace means He saves me from sin. It's a question of whom you trust. You trust yourself, you don't get it. You trust in Jesus, He does it for you. So that's the first thing, and I believe we must be wholehearted and radical and never be satisfied till you get victory over this. Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, all these things. We got to finish with it. Think what your home will become if you get rid of murmuring and complaining in your home. Think what your home will become If you get rid of anger from your home, think what your home will become. If you get rid of depression, bad moods. They are, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 1:20? What Jesus has, God is, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. That means He's put His signature. We put our amen and it's ours. He will write His laws in our heart and mind. That's what He's promised to do. We must not give up until we experience this. Not talk about it, but actually experience it. It'll revolutionize your home and your church and everything if the leaders actually enter into the new covenant. I fear that many of our elder brothers have not entered into the new covenant themselves. So how can a person who's only passed first standard teach a college class? That is the problem with many of our elders. They have passed first standard and they are trying to teach a college class. No, we've got to get past this. We've got to really be overcomers. Otherwise, you can't get up and preach God's word just because you've studied something or you've meditated and produced a message. No, it must come out of your overcoming life. Otherwise, you'll be like the elder in Sardis and the elder in Laodicea. So here's where we must begin. Lord, You will save me from my sins. I want to believe that today. That's the name of Jesus means You will save me from my sins. You will give me the power to overcome, just like Jesus gave Peter the power to overcome the law of gravity and walk on the water. To me, that Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water is a beautiful picture of the new covenant. Under the old covenant, the law of gravity took over, everybody sank in the water. But then Jesus came and He walked on the water, overcoming the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is like gravity pulling us down. Jesus overcame and walked. And Peter said, Lord, if it's You, I can also walk. Boy, can you say that? Lord, if You lived on earth overcoming sin, I can live on earth overcoming sin. And Jesus said, come. If you've got the faith, come. And He came. And He looked unto Jesus and lo and behold, He could overcome gravity too. According to your faith, be it unto you. And He walks and is triumphant. And all of a sudden He gets a little proud. That's the end. Or He looks around and, oh, this massive temptation. Or perhaps looks around to see what's happening to all the others. The moment you start looking around, whatever the reason, because you're proud or because the temptation is too big, or to see whether others are obeying God as much as you, I guarantee you'll go down. And when you start going down, you must pray what Peter prayed. Lord, save me. He'll save you. But if you don't look around and just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you need not sink. That's the message of that miracle. Every miracle was a parable. Every miracle was a parable to teach us something. That you can be an overcomer like Jesus overcame. To me, the greatest miracle there is not Jesus walking on the water. That's not a great thing. It's Peter walking on the water. That's the miracle. Jesus overcoming sin is not such a great thing. But if I can overcome sin, I who was such a slave, when I overcome, that's a miracle. Isn't it a miracle if you overcome anger? Or you who are slaves to dirty thoughts and internet pornography and all that, you suddenly finish with it? Boy, what a miracle that is. Think how effective your life will become if you start going along that direction. And you get rid of bitterness. You get rid of telling lies. Boy, you become an overcomer. Those are the ones we need in our church. Overcomers. Where our homes become like little heaven. Our home becomes like a little heaven. No anger, nobody in a bad mood anytime. I decided long ago, I will never be in a bad mood for 1 second in my whole life. Why? Because of 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus and I put my arm into it. That's it. It's not got to do with my determination. I'm not a Buddhist controlling my feelings. No, I'm a Christian. Jesus saves me. Not my gritting my teeth and yoga and all that. No, no, no. It's Jesus. It's another power that keeps me from falling. You must believe that. He'll keep you from falling. Believe it. Put your arm into it.